This morning we do begin our sermon series on the book of Genesis. We'll be looking at the first two verses that Jenny has read to us. It's an introduction that we're going to look at with an emphasis on "In the beginning God created." Let's just lift this up in prayer once more. Lord, we do thank you that we are here right now, that you have placed us in this place at this time. And Lord, that you are a loving and gracious and merciful Father who loves his children and wants to give good gifts to them. And part of that gift is your word and the Holy Spirit. Father, I too pray, as Marian's already prayed, that your word would go forth faithfully this morning. Lord, that you give us ears to hear and eyes to see and understand your truth and to respond to it in the ways that you have for each one of us this morning. So Lord, we give this time to you and may it continue to give you the work that you deserve. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Even though the Old Testament, including the book of Genesis, was written in Hebrew, the word Genesis is a Greek word. It comes from the Septuagint. Septuagint's the first Greek translation of the Old Testament. Genesis means origin or beginning. And it links very well with the first three words in the Bible, "in the beginning." So that's what Genesis is about this morning, "in the beginning." It's the account of the beginning of things. And God used Moses to write the words through the leading of the Holy Spirit that's contained in this book that we're going to be looking at. And just like the rest of the Bible, Genesis is given to us for our blessing, for our good. That's why God's given us his word. The account of Genesis covers from creation until 1800 BC, 1800 years before Jesus was born. And you see on there, Moses' birth was around 1500 BC. So Moses is writing about things that happened several hundred years before he was born. So consider how profound these words are. "In the beginning." You know, we man really are curious creatures, aren't we? We like to know things. And when we don't know certain things, we do want the answers. And so this first three words of the Bible is inviting us in to hear what God's account of the beginning is. But before we look at that, I just want us to consider for a moment the importance of Genesis. And I want to tie that to just a little illustration. Imagine you're going to watch a really good movie. How do you feel if that were to happen and you missed the first part of that movie? How does that make you feel? You've got this really good movie, but you missed the first part of it. For example, imagine you were going to watch The Wizard of Oz for the first time and you missed the first half hour. Now, you could sit down and watch the rest of the movie, and you might enjoy parts of it, but it wouldn't make as much sense, would it? And therefore, it wouldn't be as good. It wouldn't be as meaningful. You wouldn't know that Dorothy is having a dream. That's what you're watching. You wouldn't know the background on the Tin Man and the Scarecrow and the Lion and the Witch. You wouldn't know the beginning where Dorothy longed to leave home and how that contrasted with the end where she just wanted to go home. If you missed the beginning, you would miss all of those things. Imagine if we didn't have this book of Genesis. How much we would miss. We wouldn't know about the initial creation. We would have very little detail about that. We wouldn't know how man and woman came about. We wouldn't know that for a time this world was a perfect place. We wouldn't know the details of Adam and Eve's sin and how that impacted their lives and how we're linked to that impact. We wouldn't know about the flood and about Noah and God calling him to build the ark and his family and all the animals and the birds being on there. We wouldn't know about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and God's promises to them, including that through them all the nations of the earth would be blessed, calling to Jesus, the Messiah. We wouldn't know how the nation of Israel even came about. All of these things are contained in Genesis. And that's what we're going to be looking at for the months ahead. This book sets the stage for all of the rest of Scripture. Right up through Jesus' birth and his life, in his death on the cross to save us. It's foundational to the church. And you guys are probably getting sick and tired of hearing this verse, but it's just so applicable so often. Ephesians 2:19 and 20, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household. It's talking about those who have faith in Christ, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. The church is built upon the truth of God's word, found both in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament. So Genesis is foundational to our faith, to this body of believers. Again, that's what we're going to be looking at in the months ahead. So let's now go back to Genesis 1:1. And it says, in the beginning, God. So there's a central figure in Genesis, and it is God himself. It's his story. It's about who he is and what he has done. And it's tied in with all of Scripture. And through this, God is inviting us into his story. He's giving us that blessing. And we need to keep this in mind as we go through this study, because sometimes we're tempted to make the Word of God different than what it is. For example, next week we're going to hear the creation account, the 6 days of creation. And we're going to be tempted to want scientific and historical answers for creation. And God could have given us those, but he chose not to. And so as we go through, we need to remember, in the beginning, God. It's about God and what he wants us to focus on. Before we look at this creation account, I want us to first consider a couple of man-made theories about how the universe and all of this began. One of the most popular ones, is the Big Bang Theory. And most of us are familiar with this. Basically, the Big Bang Theory is that billions of years ago, there was something smaller than an electron that exploded. And within a portion of a second, the universe came into being. That's what many scientists believe, how the universe came into being. What they don't know is how or who caused that explosion to begin. Another very popular theory is the theory of evolution. And in this theory, man proposes that life began with microorganisms. Those are little things up in the left-hand corner. Can't even see them with the naked eye. Life began with that through some kind of chemical reaction that took place. Microorganisms came out. And this theory of evolution says that over time, those organisms began to mutate. They began to change. And given enough time, millions of years or more, then life began to evolve. So man started from microorganism and mutated over millions of years into something. Eventually, it's probably a small mammal, and then maybe he's a monkey-like thing, and then onward to what we are today. That's the theory of evolution. There are a lot of holes in this theory. One respected scientist said that the probability of human life originating by accident is comparable to the probability of the unabridged dictionary originating from an explosion in a print shop. Man just has a hard time knowing how things came about. But we do have God's word, and his word provides an account. And the first verse in God's word is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's what God's word teaches us. And the heavens and the earth includes everything, this earth, everything on it, as well as the universe and whatever else is out there. That's encompassed in the heavens and the earth. It goes on in verse 2, and it says, the earth was without form and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep, And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. So we learn some things about what the earth was like before God began doing his creation here on earth. It says the earth was without form and void. It means there was no organization to it. There was no life that existed on it. When I read that, it made me think of a lump of clay before it's formed into anything. And darkness was over the face of the deep. It sounds like the earth was just encompassed in this complete darkness. Almost the opposite of light and life. And then it says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. So we see in verse 2 that the earth was formless, it was empty, it was dark, and it appears that it was covered in water. That's what it was like in the beginning. And God was present there. And this is like the opening scene to all of creation now that's going to take place. The Hebrew word for created is bara, which means created out of nothing. And we see this word only used with God. You see, we can create too, can't we? But we create from other things. For example, we can create a home, or maybe a great meal, or a piece of art. But our creation always starts with something else. God creates amazing things out of nothing. And we'll see that by the words of his mouth. It came to be. And what does that tell us or teach us about God? It teaches us that he's powerful, isn't he? That he's a wise God. That he is a God that is operating on a different level. He's a being operating on a different level than we're operating on. So the rest of chapter 1 is going to provide us with more detail about all of this. What I want to focus on this week is just kind of looking at things in general terms. So we know that God has revealed himself to us through his word. He's given us his word so that we could know him and know his will. He's revealed himself to us through history and his interactions with man. He's revealed himself to us through our placing our faith in Jesus Christ and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he's also revealed himself to us through his creation. And we see that in verses like Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. The words, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, reveal God's greatness. We sang about that this morning, didn't we? And I want to reflect on some of that this morning. I want to start, as I thought about how creation reveals God's greatness, obviously one way is just to look up in the sky on a dark night. I've shared with you in the past that one time I was in southern Ohio and we were hunting in the woods and we had a long walk. So by the time we got back to the truck, it was really dark. We had headlamps on and it was me and another guy and we were sitting on the back of the truck and we were just talking and stuff, oblivious to what was going on around us. And right before we left, we turned the lights off. And I looked up in the sky. And this was out in the middle of nowhere. And it was a really dark night. And I'd never seen stars like I saw that night. It just caused me to go, wow. God created that. That's what his creation is to do for us. When we see it, when we're exposed to it, it should cause us to be wow. And in turn, give him glory. And, you know, I've shared before that with the naked eye, we could see about 2,000 stars on a dark, clear night. But with technology, we can look further. So, you know, some of us maybe have telescopes that we can see like Jupiter and the rings around.
Isn't that cool?
Or even more technology, like the Hubble telescope can see things, look out and see things like that, and we can just be wowed by what's out there. And that's just a speck of God's creation that's out there. It's almost like God knew that as a man evolved and technology evolved, that man would be able to see further and further, and God would always be ready to all and even more. And it's not just, well, before I say that, I've shared this with you before too, and you don't really need to memorize this or anything, but it's estimated that there's 306 trillion stars in the universe. Maybe a better word is, it's guesstimated there's 306 trillion stars. That's 300 with 21 zeros. And the only reason I wanted to give you this number, I want you to just kind of keep that in your mind for just a moment. So I was thinking of the universe, and I was also thinking, how else does God reveal himself for us to see his glory? And I just thought of some simple things. They just came to my mind. One of them was a drop of water. We've had a lot of this revealed lately. But seriously, a drop of water. I thought, okay, how is God, how is he awed and amazed through a drop of water? Well, most of us know that water is made up of the element of H2O, right? Two parts, two atoms of hydrogen and one atom of oxygen. You know how many atoms there are in one drop of water? 5-6 trillion atoms, it's estimated, in one drop of water. 306 trillion stars in the universe, 5-6 trillion atoms in one drop of water. God did that. That's awesome. And then I thought, and I don't know why, but I thought, butterflies. You know, we've seen this before. The ugly caterpillar turns into the butterfly, and that's awesome. But anybody want to take a stab at how many butterflies there are in the world? Take a guess.
306 trillion.
Thanks, Mark. That's a little large. Any other reasonable guesses? What was it?
50 billion.
50 billion? That's pretty high, too. There's 18 to 20,000 different types of butterflies in the world, approximately. And it's approximate because scientists are discovering new butterflies rarely. Still yet now. That's part of God's creation. That's part of who he is, what he's done. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All of creation is created by God for his glory. And we see that in verses like Psalm 19, 1-4. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard, and their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. The psalmist is simply saying here that God's creation speaks to the world. That it speaks in a language that every one of us can understand. That we can be awed by God through his creation and bring him glory. You know, when you think about it, God's creation is just one piece or one aspect of who God is. There's his holiness. There's the fact he's all-knowing and all-powerful. He's all-precious, all-knowing, powerful, and present. He is gracious and merciful and loving, even to those of us who have rebelled against him. So as we consider God and his creation and everything about him, it should lead us to respond similar to what David responded in Psalm 8:1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. So this is part of the application for us this morning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and that is to glorify him and just cause us to be in awe of him. But there's another application that I wanted to focus on as well this morning. And that is the truth that God is the creator and we are the creation. And so there's an order to things. God is the one who is the author of life. He's the central figure in everything. And everything else that means is subordinate to him. So according to God's word, there's an order to this world. And if we want to flourish in this world, we must submit ourselves to this order. That's what we're also getting from these first two verses of the Bible. As we will see as we continue our study of Genesis, all creation, only man, only us were created in God's image. We were placed in a very high position within God's creation. But we were placed in that position for a purpose, to display and glorify God. And we see that in a number of different verses. Isaiah 43, 6 and 7. Do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and named. Or Ephesians 1, 11 and 12. In him we were also chosen, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the glory or might be for the praises of his glory. Man, including everyone in here this morning, was created for the purpose to display and glorify God. We were created for God's glory, but we were also created to receive God's grace and mercy and love. And obviously the greatest way we receive that is through the Father sending his Son Jesus to die on the cross to save us. But we've received his love and mercy and grace in many other forms as well. When we have faith in Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven, his righteousness is imparted to us, we become children of God. And through that, we experience so many different blessings in our life. Again, we see that in verses like Psalms 34:8. Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Or Psalm 128:1. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walks in his ways. Ephesians 1:3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We're reminded of these truths in Genesis 1 and 2. And part of the blessing of being a follower of Jesus Christ is that when we place our faith in Jesus, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And through that, we receive, we experience, and we're able to share things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. When we align our lives with the order that God's created, we're blessed in many ways, including these. But when we fail to align our life with God's orders of things, other things happen. Sometimes the opposite. Rather than there being love, we can be indifferent towards others, maybe ill-willed, even sometimes hating. Rather than being joy, there can be sorrow and anger and frustration. Rather than peace, we can experience chaos. Rather than patience, we can become annoyed or intolerant. Kindness, we can go from kindness to being cruel, from good to evil, from faithful to unfaithful or false, from gentle to harsh, from self-control to being self-indulgent. So when we fail to understand and respond to the order of God's creation, we're impacted by that. We fail to glorify God, but we also fail to be blessed and to be a blessing to others. And we see this truth brought out in Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And I really want to focus on the last part of this, because God has provided a way in his order for us to please the Spirit, to reap eternal life, to enjoy great blessing. It's all there for us. It's all there for us as we respond faithfully to Christ. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We can glorify God for that. We can align our lives with those truths. We can be abundantly blessed, and we can glorify and honor you, which is what we were created for. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for your word to us. We thank you for this first book, this book of Genesis, the beginning of things. Lord, we thank you for the great blessing it is to have your word and to be able to go through it. And again, Lord, as I pray to start this message, whatever it was that you had for each one of us this morning, help us to hear and respond simply according to you, that it might bring glory and honor to you. And Lord, we thank you for the blessing it brings to us and for allowing us to be blessings to others. We pray all this in your name, Jesus.